You're listening to Fan of a Fan, an independently produced podcast for stands by stands. I'm Augie.
And I'm Kayla.
And we're your hosts, and let's go into the podcast.
Let's go.
All right. Hey y'all, welcome to the podcast. This week we'll talk about the word stan and where it came from, how it evolved.
Eminem's weird ass.
Yeah, because he's the one that kicked it off and started the word.
Later, we'll go through our fandom glossary.
Yep, yeah.
And we'll pretty much just explain some words from the stan world that you guys may or may not know.
Yeah, like what the hell does shipping mean? How do you pronounce manip?
Manip.
It's manip. And all of those things. We'll also talk a little bit about the word fangirl and why stan has become something that's accepted, and yet fangirl is still used as this weird condescending word. So yeah, let's go into it.
Yeah.
So we're going to jump into this conversation by talking about the word stan and where it originated from. We did some digging, but we didn't have to dig that far because the word stan, it's currently, you know, in the Oxford Dictionary and defined as an overzealous or obsessive fan of a particular celebrity. But most of you may or may not know it originated from a song by Eminem called Stan. But she don't know you like I know you, Slim. No one does. She don't know what it was like for people like us growing up. You gotta call me, man. I'll be the biggest fan you'll ever lose. Sincerely yours, Stan. P.S. We should be together too. It's about a fan who is so obsessive that he does some really, really disturbing things. So this is just,
he's crazy,
yeah, though. He's really crazy. Kayla, what do you remember about this song and kind of this word? Because we both today identify as stans, if I'm not wrong. How do you feel about the word? And I didn't mention, but stan is technically like a portmanteau, if I'm pronouncing that word right, of stalker fan.
Right. I definitely remember it, and I remember just being so weirded out by the whole song, especially Dido's part, because her voice is just really weird. And then the video just made it worse, because the video was like really like eerie, and the guy is like super obsessed with Eminem, and I just remember being so weirded out by it. Like, and now that I think about the fact that I self-identify as a stan, it's like, well,
it's insane.
You know.
And so we were, how old were we? Like, that was what, like 16 years ago, which is insane.
Right.
So we were what, like about seven or eight?
We were young.
And so we've basically seen this word evolve as we've grown up, which I, like, looking back, have found really interesting. But the video, again, is like so disturbing. I mean, if we kind of go through the course of what happens, it's like the first two verses are from the perspective and voice of Stan, you know, Stanley, but Stan for short, writing these letters to Eminem. And like, as he's going through the song, the letters just get more and more disturbing. And he goes from being like, why aren't you paying attention to me, to, hey, I'm about to drive my pregnant girlfriend off of a bridge because you didn't pay attention to me. It just literally goes from 0 to 100 real quick in literally 8 minutes or whatever, however long the song is. And then, like, I think what's most interesting about the song is the last verse, which is in Eminem's point of view. I'm glad I inspire you, but Stan, why are you so mad? Try to understand that I do want you as a fan. I just don't want you to do some crazy shit. And he's writing back to Stan, not knowing that he's, you know, at this point has killed himself and his girlfriend, and just being like, listen, like, I hate that you're going through all this stuff. I'm sorry if it seemed like I wasn't paying attention to you. But, you know, and he kind of goes through this thing where you get the mindset of the artist, where they're carrying this guilt and this feeling of like, I am appreciative of you, but I have millions of other fans. I can't pay attention to everyone. And yet that isn't enough to save this guy. And
it's too late.
Right.
I mean, like, the whole point of view thing, first of all, I don't really like Eminem that much. But
me
I will
neither.
Give him his props on this song. I mean, if you, once you think about and you dissect the song, like, after the fact, rapping from the fan's point of view and then rapping from his own point of view is really a cool idea.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely think that Stan was, like, one of his darker songs, I guess.
I don't know. He had a pretty dark discography.
Well,
like, I don't know.
True.
Like, it definitely was
How
probably one
rate,
of the darker
like, him,
ones. Right.
How can you rate him wanting to kill his mom and then, like, a fan wanting to kill his girlfriend?
Either yeah.
Way, he's very violent towards women.
He's very, yeah, he has no, like, shame in expressing those feelings. And so I do agree that Eminem does deserve props for tackling this through his music, because yeah. there are just so many other artists that you would think, you know, with, like, a Michael Jackson. I mean, he had different songs, like, you know, is it Leave Me Alone? I don't know yeah. how, yeah, like, where he kind of, I feel like, touches on some of those things. With, mm-hmm. But with him, it was more like this hyper-visibility type of thing, not as much
right.
discussing, like, how he feels about his fans and that relationship that can sometimes be dark. But that kind of takes me to, like, my next thing that I noticed, which was how a lot of stanning and, you know, this fangirl picture, it really, a lot of people, the first thing their mind goes to is pop music. Like, this is something that right. only exists in pop music. So I found it really interesting that this song and this word is coming out of a rap song and hip-hop, because a lot of people don't associate hip-hop with having these fangirls or, like, having these yeah. very, you know, passionate, obsessed fans. I mean, we know hip-hop heads exist, but, like, right. they're seen definitely. As being more level-headed or normal, quote-unquote, not these people screaming their heads off and, like, being obsessed with these people.
When I think about stans or fangirls, I automatically think of, like, One Direction, Justin Bieber, girls with their, you know, like, screaming their heads off. You don't really think about, like, a Eminem fan or, like, a Jay-Z fan or something like that. I know a bunch of hip-hop heads that love Jay-Z, but they don't follow him around the country or, you know, have Twitter accounts dedicated to him and stuff like that. So I think that with different genres, people kind of see the stereotype of the type of fan that everyone is, and they kind of just conform to that. So if you're, like, just breaking into the fandom world, I guess, you look at everyone around you and you see how they're acting, and you're like, oh, well, I guess this is how you're supposed to act when you're a One Direction fan. I guess that's how you're supposed to act when you're a Jay-Z fan, whatever. But it's like, that's not the case all the time. Like, I don't think that I'm like a lot of the people that I say follow on Twitter or a lot of people that, like, meet my faves or whatever. Mm-hmm. If I compare myself to them, I definitely don't consider myself the same type of fan as them.
So we're maybe sort of indirecting certain people that may show up at airports to meet people,
right.
to meet the right. people that right. they're fans of.
Hotels.
Hotels.
Apartment complexes.
Yeah, just really creepy stuff that exists in a lot of the same fandoms that we are a part of. And
right.
that is something that we, I mean, for me personally, and I know for you too, like, we just cannot fathom being that type of fan.
I really can't, because I just think it's weird to
it's
follow
weird.
somebody, because I know how I'm already really annoyed in airports. I am not a celebrity and I'm already annoyed in airports. I hate airports. So imagine somebody you don't know just walking up to you and being like, hey, can I have a picture? Or, hey, can you sign my t-shirt?
Exactly. Like, it's just a different sect of this world of fandom that it definitely does exist, the true definition of stan, which is stalker fan, but we don't all have to conform to that. And it's just, there are certain people who feel like they do for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. And I think it goes back to what, you know, Stan in Eminem's song was basically getting at, which is he wants Eminem's attention. They want this attention
right.
from these people, and they feel like they want to get it in any way they can, whether that's sending them 100 tweets a day or, you know, basically cornering them at the airport, which, you know,
yes.
are things that just I don't understand. And I don't want to seem too judgy, because honestly I would love to talk to someone about that on here one day.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if you hi people listening, if you are one of those people and would like to come on and, like, talk to us
please
about why you do it,
why you do this,
yeah, and honestly
please.
Like, it's coming from an honest place of I really want to know your, like, why you feel like it's okay. And yeah, so this is an open invitation, just please don't show up at my house.
Right.
But, yeah, so I now kind of want to move into talking about the word fangirl. For me personally, I definitely feel like I identify more with the word stan than fangirl.
Mm-hmm.
But before I dive into that, I want to talk about kind of the history of the word fangirl.
Right.
So I came across this article on popmatters.com, which we will link to on our Tumblr. But basically, it talked about the history of fangirls, and it traced fangirls back to you know, Frank Sinatra's fans and how he was kind of the first big American pop star. And it went through Frank Sinatra all the way up to Robert Pattinson. And this whole article really was interesting to me because it framed the idea of being a fangirl. First of all, from the way they constructed what a fangirl is, it was very much a gendered... I mean, obviously, fangirl is very gendered, but you'd never hear the word fanboy. Right. First of all. Second of all, it was very class-driven. It was like, you know, middle-class girls who are usually doing this, parents who have time and money to spend on their kids and these obsessions or whatever. It's an age thing that you picture. It's a class. It's a race thing. It's usually teenage white girl. That is what's kind of this picture that's built. And who are they being a fangirl of? It's usually a brooding white man. But that's typical, like the way they described a fangirl and what, you know, she is a fan of. It's very typical of anyone's general, you know, perception of what a fangirl is. The only point that I really liked that this article made was the fact that they really gave fangirls credit for helping to move pop culture forward in a lot of different ways, whether that means just building up a lot of these pop stars to who they've become and supporting them in every different avenue and kind of helping create this business model that we have now in the 21st century, where it's like these young people who are willing to spend so much money to support a certain artist. And so I definitely did like that part, simply because usually when you hear fangirl, it's in a condescending manner. So I did like that this article gave fangirls credit for kind of their role in like the economics of like what pop culture has become. So that's kind of my spiel on the word fangirl. I don't know how you feel about that word.
I mean, I definitely have never described myself as a fangirl, even like in the beginning, because I just look at it like it's young white teenager. And I think to other people, at least, I wouldn't describe myself as a fangirl because they don't really get it. You know what I mean? Like, if I say I'm a fangirl, they're like, what? You know?
Yeah.
Like, what are you a fan of? And why are you a fangirl? Like,
exactly.
Why can't you just be a casual fan? Blah, blah, blah. So that's why I just identify as a stan if I'm going to say I'm a stan of someone. Because fangirl I think it just gets a bad rap. Like, it just... it's not really respected. It's not a respected, like, term, I guess you can say.
Which is just crazy to me because, for me, like, you know, people who go follow me on Twitter, like, they'll see that I have the word fangirl in my bio, and I mention it casually, but it's, I guess when I mention it or, like, describe myself as a fangirl, it's kind of in a joking, self-deprecating type thing.
Right.
But what I just find really interesting is how the word stan has evolved to become like a very, you know, welcome word to describe yourself as, but fangirl is still a very, it's just not a word people want to be associated with. And I just find it interesting because the word stan comes from such a dark place, as we've talked about.
Yeah, if you think about it, it's 10 times worse.
It's so much worse. I mean, they basically mean the same thing, but like one word has evolved drastically. And then the other one has remained basically the same as when the Beatles first, you know, made their invasion into America. And, you know, you had all of those young girls kind of going crazy, or like people calling them crazy.
Right. So you say you use fangirl and stan. But for me, like I said, I don't use fangirl at all for myself. Like, I don't see myself ever identifying as a fangirl. I don't know if it's just because I have that stereotype ingrained in my mind and it's like it's not going anywhere, even though I know that fangirls are more than just that, you know, like I said, white teenage standing for like a One Direction type thing. But I mean, like, I don't know. When I think of, like, so I do identify as a stan, but when I think of stans, I don't put myself in that category too much either. Like I said, I'm not like a lot of fans or stans that I see online.
Right.
You know? Right. Like, I think...
For me, it's more of like a, it's differentiating myself from a regular fan. Because, for example, I am a fan of the New Orleans Saints, as in very casual, I will root for them if they're playing in a game, but I am not a stan of the New Orleans Saints, as in I don't follow their stats. I don't really care if a certain player leaves unless it's Drew Brees, but that's a very like, it's a very surface level being a fan. So for me, mm-hmm. like identifying as a stan basically is to indicate, hey, like, I know
I'm a little more than a casual fan.
I know Lemonade backwards and forwards, the lyrics. I can tell you Fifth Harmony singles in the order from which they were released.
Right.
It's basically just to let you know I am not just a casual listener of music, or I'm not just a casual mm-hmm. follower of this show. I can tell you everything you need to know about it. And so for exactly. me, it's more like that. But there is a, I get what you're getting at, which is like there is a different level of stanning, which is maybe going back to like its original definition, which is kind of those
yes.
those fans that are just a little bit off. But yeah, I don't
a
know.
A lot. You know, it's just, but you know what though? It's more than just, they're more than just the stan that I think I am. And then the crazy like stalker fan. There's so many different types of fans, you know, stans. They have the ones I think that are really just there for the music, which is few and far between, I think, but definitely those people. And then you have the people that, you know, kind of care not really about their personal life, but they care about the personalities of the artist.
Exactly.
You know, we've gone through the different types of stans, I feel like there's only one type of fangirl. But
no, I think I have to disagree with you on that. I feel like there's one type of perceived fangirl.
Okay, yeah, I agree. I'll give you that.
That's something that even I came into fandoms feeling like. I felt mm-hmm. like there was no one else that looked like me there. There's no one else my age here. And yet I found so many amazing people who wanted to talk about these things and wanted to be a part of something, and being able to like find people like that has helped me realize that there are a range of us, and it's not mm-hmm. you know, just this one description that people want to sell you. And so right. I have to kind of disagree with you on that, but it's fine, I still love you.
no, you're good. But yeah, so moving on to this fandom glossary type thing we have going on here.
Yeah, basically it's like if you are following this podcast and you have no idea what any of these words mean, that we will be bringing up constantly.
Yeah, this is for the clueless people.
And I mean, yeah, so and once we go through our list, and I know this, we know this, these aren't all the words that have originated in right. fandom or have become popular in fandoms. So if there's anything we're missing, just like hit us up, let us know what we missed, and we might mm-hmm. add it to our list that we'll eventually post on Tumblr. Let's get started. What's the first word?
Problematic and or problematic fave. It pretty much defines itself, but it's a favorite person who has problematic views and opinions. So if you think of, I'm going to say a random person, Justin Bieber is a problematic fave for a lot of people because he gets into things and he says things that he should not be saying. And he gets into things that he should not be doing.
Yeah, and it's basically trying to deal with these, like, conflicting emotions because you're just like,
right.
I feel like Kanye is another peak problematic fave because
yeah.
it's someone who is constantly doing these really sus things and saying these really mm-hmm. outrageous things. And it's like, but you just love their music so much. Or you
but
love
I love
whatever.
Him so much.
Right, and so it's like, it's really dealing with, like, just that person maybe being a complete shit person, but doing something that redeems them for you. That's why you kind of keep them around and you still call them a fave, but they're hella problematic. And props to anyone who can actually admit that their fave is problematic, because there are a lot of people
yes.
who will purposefully defend everything
and
their
I
fave
just can't.
Does.
I mean, you know, like, you love this person, but they do so many things that just, like, they're just not acceptable. But you still love them at the end of the day. On to another that you see all day, every day on Twitter, flop.
Yep.
And pretty much it's a fail. But I think, you know, when I first started seeing people use that, maybe like when I first made my account, I think I've been on my account for like 3 years now, now mm-hmm. that I think about it. But when I first made my account, I think it was used more seriously and more closely to the definition.
Yeah.
But now everything's a flop. So
yeah, people are flops, albums are
somebody
flops.
Sold. Right. So if like somebody sold like 20K in their first week on their album, they're a flop, right? Mm-hmm. But now if you don't get two or three, if you don't get more than 10 retweets on your tweet flop.
Yeah.
So it's just a fail pretty much.
It's a fail. And it's one of the prime examples of this is if you look at Billboard magazine, their tweets, and go in their like
yes.
mentions, look at the replies on any
the
of their
that
tweets
reply. Yes.
And they will like there's at least 10 people that will just reply flop, and it'll just be yes. usually a tweet about like Katy Perry or something or Gaga, and it'll
it's
be like
honestly
someone.
So funny.
Yeah, it's hilarious because they call everything a flop. Yeah.
When I think about like album sales and, you know, singles and stuff like that, that's what you kind of use flopping for. But you shouting out Billboard made me think of Chart News. Rest in peace. Chart News is over now.
So sad.
Rest in
so
peace. Sad. Where am I gonna go to find out, you know, chart positions now?
I don't know.
Yeah, so if you think about all the people that like dedicate their accounts just to replying to Chart News and Billboard and stuff like that, it's honestly so funny because it's like as soon as they tweet, it doesn't matter if this person sold a million in a week. It's like flop,
right.
You know. Mm-hmm. I saw flop under like Adele sales, and you know it's ridiculous. She
That's
sells
like
so a ridiculous amount of units.
Yeah, she sells more in like week 99 of her album being out than
right.
most artists do in their debut week. Like it's just crazy.
Exactly. So it's like it has just gotten to the point where people just use it for anything.
Right.
But
it's kind of been overused.
If you don't know what it means, it's pretty much just a fail.
Mm-hmm.
On to a manip. Okay, so do you say manip or manip?
I say manip, but I know the word
okay,
is manipulation, so
exactly.
technically it should be manip, but that just sounds really
right.
weird. Like, it sounds like you're saying a word backwards. So I say manip because it's more comfortable for me.
Yeah, I've heard, like, maybe two other people say that, but not too many.
But we've
but
had
yeah,
this
so
with,
a manip
like, ship names.
Pretty much...
We've disagreed on ship
yes.
names, so we just will table
But that. I just want to let you know you were wrong. You were wrong.
All right.
So manip is pretty much a photo or video manipulation, of course. It's commonly used for like ships that'll probably never happen or like exes that'll probably never get back together. It's just
right.
pretty much people that you will never see in a picture together. So fans put them together
yeah.
in a picture.
And so it's basically fans who have way too much time on their hands and also are really skilled at Photoshop. So they will, yeah, like just
super skilled. For example, I saw a picture of Rihanna and Drake courtside. And
oh my God.
I really don't think that this was an actual picture. I mean, some of them are so good that you really just don't know. But it was a picture of Rihanna and Drake courtside at a basketball game. And on her phone, like her phone home screen was lit up and it was like supposedly like a selfie of them on her home screen in her hand. And that was like zoomed in so everyone could see. And I'm just like, there is no way this is real, but it looks 100%, you know, authentic. Like it's just, so that's what a manip is.
Yeah. My personal favorite manip, which I'm sticking to my version is, is like the Holy Trinity. Holy Trinity is Rihanna,
oh
Beyonce, and Nicki, right? So they have never
you know,
officially
I don't really
been
know
photographed.
Who came up with that, but that's right.
Anyway, so let me. So yeah, back to the Holy Trinity. They have never been photographed, all three of them together. Like
which
Beyonce
is strange.
And Ri have been photographed together. Beyonce and Nicki have been photographed together. Ri and Nicki have collabed a few times. They've been photographed together. But the
right.
three of them never have, even if that crazy title meeting that they all had together. And so some of my
right,
favorite
so
manips are of them
it.
Three together because I can like, you know, it's a religious like experience. And that's the only way I can live through that. But yeah, so those are my favorite manips. But we can move on now.
Yeah, so that's what a manip is. It's pretty much pictures put together and beautifully photoshopped, I must say. These people should try to do graphic design or some type of thing.
Literally, like when I tell you I was legitimately in a stan's DMs at one point, I was like, girl, you need to, if you're not already on the road to graphic design school, go like apply because your art, and it is art, is like
yes.
amazing. I am floored. And so I got into this girl's DMs and I was like, girl, go apply, like do your thing. So shout out to like all these fan artists out here, like they're really killing it.
Yeah, because I mean they're really really good.
Next word.
So yeah, fandom names. So here are some examples. Beliebers for Justin Bieber, Swifties Taylor Swift, Directioners for One Direction, Harmonizers for Fifth Harmony, which, oh my God, I hate that so much.
It's so corny.
The Beehive for Beyonce. And then, honestly, I need you to confirm this for me, but does she refer to it as the Rihanna Navy or is it just the Navy?
I don't know. know. I always just thought it was Navy. And I honestly can't tell you. We need to call our resident Navy person, which is Amanda. Shout out to Amanda.
To ask her,
like, where did that originate from? Because it's one of those, like, the Navy is something that's, it seems like, out of left field. With Beliebers, it's his last name. Swifties, it's her last name. Directioners, Harmonizers, all are derived from the name of their groups.
The name.
So, like, Navy, it just seems out of left field. And, I mean, you do have, like, Gaga, her Little Monsters, you know, but she's Mother Monster, you know, with Nicki Minaj, it's...
Right.
The Barbs, but she, you know, came out in the beginning and was like a Barbie or whatever.
Right, but Rihanna was never anyone's like El Capitan.
Yeah,
so.
And so it's hard to it's hard to tell where a lot of these names derive from, like whether it's the artist naming their fandom or the fandom naming themselves. It really depends on the artist and the fandom and what they decide. I really got to shout out Lorde, though, because she came out and was like, I'm not naming my fandom because that's weird.
Shout out to Lorde.
Yeah, so shout out to her for, you know, kind of not being a part of that craziness.
Nice. Oh, I did want to say the worst name that I've ever heard for a fandom, and that is Zwaggers for Zendaya.
God.
That is
Zendaya,
hands down the worst.
Please rename it. Please.
She
you
has
deserve
time
better, girl. You
because
deserve
her
better.
Music career, it's still
it's
on
still
its
chugging.
It's still, you know, going up. So she has time to change it.
But anyway,
really
what is our last word / phrase for this glossary?
Update accounts. So if you don't know what that is, it's pretty much fan-driven accounts that give you the latest information on your favorite celebrity, from like pictures and interviews to their latest Instagram post, and sometimes, or maybe all the time, their location at the time. So like, I know that Fifth Harmony is in Peru right now because they're on their South American leg of their tour.
Exactly.
And I know that because, well, one, they announced it, but also I knew what time they got in because of an update account, right? That sounds so crazy, but
no, it's crazy. So, but also, it's true, and it's like really driven by a lot of these updates. Update accounts are so organized that they have people on different continents, and they all get together. I don't know if it's like a GChat or a Skype or whatever, but they are keeping up with all of these little details, and they're making sure they get the first pictures from whoever is at the airport to whoever goes to the concert that night. And it can be creepy because it's like you know they're following what these people are doing like every second of their lives. But I mean, you gotta give them props, because before update accounts there was what was called like a street team, and I'm making myself sound really old, but like a street team, like artists used to have that, and it was like a part of their official website. But now the fans are doing it themselves on these social channels, and so it's really kind of, like, it's impressive, honestly, like that they are so organized that they know exactly what's going on with this artist. But it can also get really depressing when, like, you know, if it's a group that broke up and like they're still doing One Direction updates and we're just like, y'all move on. You know,
I really just want them to deactivate at this point.
So yeah, I think that is it. So all right, y'all, we're gonna go into our final segment of the show. It's called Flops and Faves, and it's where we talk about our favorite thing from the week and something or someone that we thought was the flop of the week. So this can be TV show, actor, singer, an album we really love or hate. So yeah, I'll jump into it. So my fave of the week is this artist named Ingrid. You may or may not have heard of her. She's signed to Beyonce's Parkwood Entertainment. She co-wrote Love Drought on Lemonade, which is the most underrated song to me on that album. It's one of my favorite songs on Lemonade. So Ingrid's EP, Trill Feels, came out. It's her debut EP. And this girl is like from Texas. She reps Third Ward just like Beyonce. And like this EP just gives you like, I just needed that like summer, the sound of like summer in the South. Like I miss Louisiana so much, and I needed that sound. And like this EP just gives it to me. With the windows down, just like it's legal, straight chilling, plus I'm sipping Crown. I'm in a Regal with the tags that's from out of state. I've been booming since I made that move from out of state. But now I'm back, I'm in that black on black on black on black. I'm parking on the sidewalk and giving niggas daps. Every time I hit the streets, I'm with my real fam. On some ghetto fancy shit, I feel like I'm in Baps. You know we bout to flex, 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 flex,
Drive my coupe still around with the windows down, whipping on these niggas, I'm a flex.
And my favorite track on that EP is Flex, and it's featuring Seven Streeter. And I gotta be honest, I had never heard Seven Streeter sing before this, and I don't know if I'm slacking or what, but like, I'm sorry, but like this collaboration was like, it was really good, and like it's this whole EP is like really good. Okay. So she's my fave of the week. My flop of the week goes to music festival organizers, and this episode will air like a few weeks after Glastonbury happened, but today when I woke up, the first thing I saw on my timeline was disgusting, muddy pictures of people stuck in traffic, like driving into Glastonbury Festival. And one tweet that I saw that just really disturbed me was a woman who tweeted that it took her 11 and a half hours to drive a distance of what would normally take like 7 minutes. And I'm just like, I have gone through hellish experiences at music festivals to where after I went to Made in America this past fall, I will never go to a festival again. That's how bad it was. And I just need music festival organizers across the world to like step it up. For a lot of people, do better, do your job. Like that's all we want from you. Just make this experience better for us. I would love to see Bastille, Adele, and Coldplay on the same day. I would love that. But I also do not want to like spend 12 hours on the road trying to get to you. Like, get it together. That's all I have to say.
Exactly.
So flop of the week is music festival organizers.
Okay. So my fave of the week is probably Chance the Rapper's album, coloring book, or mixtape. I'm still listening to it after what it's been out for like a month now.
What's your favorite track?
I'm still
listening
to it all day. Okay, so I have two. I don't really know if I can decide between the two, but I really love How Great featuring Jay Electronica and his cousin Nicole.
Mm-hmm. Shout out to her.
And I really love, and then I really love Summer Friends featuring Jeremiah and Francis and the Lights.
Yes.
So those are my two favorites. I really love How Great simply because Chance the Rapper pulled Jay Electronica out of the trenches.
I was so far down in the mud, couldn't even let my light shine. She was always there when I needed the phone, a friend or use a lifeline.
I mean, honestly, he does a verse like once a year, so this will probably be the last verse we hear him on until 2017. So it's nice to hear him, another New Orleans native. Shout out to him. Yeah, so that is my favorite of the week. I don't know if I'll ever stop listening to this. By the way, he just recently announced a tour, so I'm definitely going to go. And in New Orleans in October, I'm super excited about that.
Yes.
And then my flop of the week will probably be Orange is the New Black. I hated the ending a lot. I don't want to spoil it for anyone, but I did not enjoy the ending at all. I think that it could have been written a little bit better. There's a lot of like outrage over, I guess I can say it was a main character that died. If you don't know that by now, you know, well, too bad. But I won't say who, but the way they handled her death was just terrible. And I really, really hated that. So I really regret wasting 13 hours of my life watching that.
As someone who has not started the season, but I have seen spoilers, I cannot bring myself to start watching it.
Yeah, that's the flop of the week for me. So, yeah.
Yeah, thank you, everyone, for listening to our very first episode. Special shout out to our spectacular DJ, Dion. She produces the music that you hear at the beginning and end of every episode. You can catch her on Twitter and SoundCloud and probably everywhere else on the internet at Your Girl DJ Magic. That's at YAGIRL DJ MAGIC. I also want to give her a little plug. She just released a mix called Femme Fatale.
Woo-hoo.
So you can catch that all in her Twitter timelines and make sure you cop it, even if it's free. Just show some support because she's amazing.
And you can follow me on Twitter at Kayla Lynn, KayyLalin.
And you can follow me on Twitter at Agarenesh, which is my full first name, and that is spelled AGERENESH. Send us some tweets. You can also follow the show at The Fan Podcast. So that's THEFANPODCAST. There you'll find a link to our Tumblr account, which is thefanpodcast.tumblr.com. And I know all these spellings are probably super complicated, but you can catch all of our Twitter and Tumblr names in the description. Thank you for listening, guys. See you next time. Or I don't know. We're not really seeing you. But yeah. Bye.
Yeah. Thanks, y'all. Peace.